I'm Andy Truscott, Program Officer with the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host today. My guests today are Joan Veetson, Director of Advancement, and Taylor Champy, a company dancer with First Day Ballet Theater. Welcome to the Delaware State of the Arts, Joan, Taylor. How are you?
Thank you, Andy. We're great. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So I'm excited to have you guys here to learn a little bit more about how First Day Ballet Theater came to be.
Well, you're right, Andy. We are Delaware's only professional ballet company. And if you go way back to where we started, it goes back to the 1990s. There was a company in Delaware called Russian Ballet Theater of Delaware, and two of their dancers, Pasha and Christina Kambalov, retired from dancing when that company folded, and they started a school in Newport. And from that school, they developed into a professional company. That was always Pasha's dream, to bring professional dancers to Delaware, to have professional dance in Delaware. And in 2003, they were invited to move their school to the Grand Opera House, which is where we are now. And they started a professional company in 2008 with 10 dancers, and we're now at about 21, 22 dancers with a full season at the Grand, 5 shows. We perform statewide, and we have a school and a very large outreach program. And we've also recently begun a ballet competition for students. So it's grown tremendously. We're about 20 years old.
Last season, obviously a challenging season for many in the performing arts. Can you talk to us a little bit about the season that you all presented and potentially what some positives were from that season?
Yeah, well, we were ecstatic to be able to put on a season last year. 2020-21, that season was completely canceled. We had no company. So actually, we're older than 22, but we have to take that year off. We canceled the season because we didn't know if we hired dancers, would they be able to perform? You know, and we have 20-some dancers. They move here from all over the world, actually, to Wilmington to dance here. So there was no way that we were going to hire people, bring them in, and then have the very real possibility of saying, you know what, we just can't do this show, go home. So we kept our school going, and we were able to successfully do that. We opened a school, and we were able to successfully navigate the pandemic pre-vaccine by having a lot of safety protocols. Masks, of course, social distancing, staggered class times, so people were not coming in and going out of the building at the same time. So it was a crazy time, a very weird time for us. So we were really, really happy when we were able to not only to plan the season to come back, but actually be able to execute it, be in the theater, and be well attended. So even with the COVID protocols through most of that season. So we consider it a great success. We started with a new piece created for the company by a choreographer that we work with frequently, Victor Plotnikov. And Victor is a really talented contemporary choreographer. He's done a lot of work for First Day Ballet Theater. He's currently a teacher on the faculty at the San Francisco Ballet, but he danced for many years with the Boston Ballet as a principal dancer, and he's choreographed all over the world. He comes to Wilmington frequently to do work for us. He did a piece called Fantasy to Dvorak. We made it a short piece because we weren't sure at that time, you know, how people would feel coming to the theater. So we didn't want to have an intermission. We didn't want people to be here long. We didn't know if they'd have to social distance in the theater. So we made 3 performances of a 30-minute piece. And we were really happy when we were able to do that, have the dancers back on stage. And it was really emotional for the audience as well, because, of course, they hadn't seen people in 18 months. And it was a really wonderful way to come back in the theater. It was a very moving piece, challenging for the dancers. And, of course, the dancers hadn't set foot on a stage in at least 18 months. So that was a wonderful way to come back. And we continued. We do, every fall, we do Upfront on Market. It's a mixed rep program in Studio One in the Baby Grand. It's about 100 seats. And it's a great chance for the dancers to kind of stretch their wings. They get to do really challenging work. We do highlights from the classical repertoire, and we also commission new pieces, contemporary pieces from choreographers in the area, sometimes young, sometimes from our company. And so it gives the chance for the dancers to kind of, you know, do something different, push themselves artistically, and it gives them opportunities that they might not otherwise have to do, you know, solo performances or in a small group. So we do that in November every year. And then, of course, we do the Nutcracker in Copeland Hall. We have a cast of about 60, including about 40 students of our students. And actually, our Nutcracker auditions are open to the community. So we do have kids from other dance schools that do our Nutcracker. And we were very lucky that Omicron hit right after we closed our Nutcracker. So we were kind of dodged that bullet there. That was really just timing was very lucky for us. In February, we did Giselle. And in April, the end of April, we did Swan Lake in Copeland Hall. And that was kind of a triumph for us because Swan Lake is a big production. It's difficult to do for any company. It requires a lot of dancers. And it's very grand. It needs to be on the big stage. You know, it needs to be seen in a place like Copeland Hall with a big proscenium and scenery. And we had a lot of new costumes. We had 20 dancers in the corps de ballet and just a really strong production that we were really excited about. And a lot of new people came to see Swan Lake. So we feel really good about last season. You know, it was difficult to plan because no one was really sure.
And Taylor, were you dancing with the company last year?
Yes, last year was my first season with First State Ballet.
Can you share a little bit about what the dancers felt as they were getting back on stage and getting back in front of audiences?
We were all pretty excited about it, especially those who were had been with First State Ballet and then had that whole year off. So they were very excited to get back on the stage. And there was also a lot of new dancers, so it was exciting getting to meet new people and just work really hard together to get back on stage.
Is there a bonding process that has to happen between the cast? Do you often see that, you know, it takes a little bit to get everyone kind of comfortable and up to speed working together, or does everyone kind of meld right into getting the work done?
Well, we are a smaller company, so I feel like it's almost easier to bond with everyone because there aren't as many people. I know in bigger companies, I feel like it's harder for people to bond because people are in all different kinds of rehearsals, but luckily for us, we all kind of work together, and we do have separate rehearsals, but we have class together every day, and we do a lot of bigger group pieces, and the females do a lot of corps de ballet work, so we all really have to kind of get together real quickly to get along and make sure that we all know what we're doing and just work really well together.
The rehearsals for a dance company like this are different than a rehearsal, say, kind of in the evenings for a professional theater company or something like that. You guys are in the studio almost all day and almost daily, not only rehearsing for the shows, but also just taking class to refine your skills. Is that correct?
Yes. So we'll start with class in the morning from 10 to about 11:15. And then we usually have rehearsals from 11:30 to either 2 or 3. And it just depends on what rep we are working on at the time. We'll be rehearsing that, or we will be working on something that we're doing later on in the season because that's the only time a choreographer can come. So it's a lot of different things, a lot of different memorization, but we work Tuesday through Saturday. So.
And for both Joan and Taylor, all of the dancers are housed locally or already live locally, correct? So I know you had mentioned that First State attracts dancers from all over the world. And so I assume they live close by in order to be there, that level of commitment.
All of the dancers move here to Wilmington. We only have one dancer right now in the company from Delaware. And she's been with us for 8 years, 8 seasons. But all of the dancers audition for our artistic director, Pasha Kambalov, and they move here. It's a 28-week contract, but most of them end up staying here because, as Taylor said, they have rehearsal 5 days a week and shows. They do have occasional breaks during the season, but they have to be here. And it's a little different than other performing arts organizations that basically job people in. and they stay for one show and then they leave. These dancers, the other thing about dancers is that they have to stay in really, really top physical condition to do the work. I mean, it's so grueling what they do that they have to have class every day, and most of them do outside work as well to stay in shape, because the work can be dangerous if they're not in shape, and they have to stay in shape over their breaks.
That's fantastic to hear that Wilmington is quite literally a hub to bring so many of these artists in, both residentially, but also for them to really start putting their own artistic mark on the community. I do just want to take a quick second here to remind our listeners that you are tuned into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for Delaware State of the Arts. Today, I'm talking with Joan and Taylor from First State Ballet Theater. And while it's been fantastic to hear about your successes and your joys from last season, I know this season is set up to be bigger and better and more exciting than ever. So let's hear about what's coming up in 22-23.
Yes, Andy, you're right. We have bigger and better. We're really excited about this season. We open with Dracula. It's a really great production created by Viktor Plotnikov, who I talked about before. It's based on the novel, and it's scary and really, really dramatic, really exciting ballet. And we're doing that in Copeland Hall, which, again, it's always great to perform there because it's such a beautiful space, and it kind of ups your game a little bit when you're in a space like that. We start with Dracula. Again, we're doing Upfront on Market, which I talked about a little bit before. And that's always really fun for the audiences because it's a much more intimate experience. They see the dancers' faces up close. They feel like they're really part of the performance because they're sitting right next to them. We do have a choreographer coming in, Megan McHale. This is her first time working with us, so we're excited about working with her. And we always have some new pieces that we throw in there, and then highlights from the classical repertoire that maybe would be pulled out of a full-length ballet. We're not going to perform that full-length ballet, but you might want to see the pas de deux from Le Corsaire. We're not going to be performing that ballet, but you could see that pas de deux. Nutcracker, of course, and we have four performances at Copeland Hall. And then we're doing a triple bill of new works, three new ballets, one by Viktor, one by Zach Capeluck from Ballet X. And Ballet X is a contemporary ballet company in Philadelphia, very successful. And Zach has worked with us before. He's a wonderful young choreographer and performer, a great, great guy. And one of his contemporaries from Ballet X, Blake Craples, will also be doing a piece for us. So these are all new pieces, like Taylor said. It's really fun for the dancers to be part of the creation of a new piece. Maybe she could talk a little bit more about that, what it's like to work with the choreographer. And then we're closing with Don Quixote, which is just a big, crowd-pleasing, super fun ballet with great music, great dancing. It's great for the family, and that'll be in Copeland Hall as well.
Taylor, I'd love it if you want to jump in and tell us a little bit about what Joan had mentioned there with the triple bill.
Yeah, I'm actually the most excited for the triple bill. I really love contemporary movement, and we're actually working with Viktor now on his piece for February. It's three couples, and I'm very excited to be part of that. Being part of the creation process is very special for the dancers because you feel like you have a say in what you're doing. So especially working with Viktor, I've worked with him a few times. He has an idea. He wants you to try it a few times. And if it works, and asks you what the best resolution is or what's the best way to come out of that step to make everything seamless and flawless, just like one really, really long sentence. So it's really very, very good for the dancers because you also kind of have to get creative and think about, okay, this might work better with this step, this grip might work better with this lift. It's just a lot of fun. You get to use your body. It feels good, very challenging, but once you get everything put together and all the steps together, it's just one long sentence, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love it.
Great. Joan, you had mentioned earlier in our chat about the National Ballet Competition, and I wondered if you might be able to expand a little bit about what that is.
So we're always looking for, like all nonprofits, especially in the arts, other sources of revenue. How can we create more income for the company so that we can keep the quality, increase the quality, increase pay for the dancers, and keep our organization thriving. So over the past 10, 15, 20 years, ballet competitions have really exploded in popularity. And they're for students, and students prepare what we call variations. They're solos from classical ballets, and they perform them for judges who are all distinguished dance professionals, teachers, coaches from all over the world. And we started this competition here in Wilmington in 2019 with, I think, 64 competitors at the Baby Grand. And now last year, so we'll be entering our fifth year, but in our fourth year, we had, I think, 143 competitors. So we doubled the competition. And the great thing about this is for kids, it gives them a chance to perform by themselves, to receive coaching throughout the school year, private coaching, which a lot of the kids say they really like working privately with their teachers to prepare these pieces. And then hearing feedback from outside professionals, outside of their own coaches, is always really valuable for students. So the kids are 9 to 19, no professional dancers, because it's not really fair to have professionals competing against students. And they also get master classes. And what that is a class with either one of the judges, or we have had other teachers come. And the kids get to learn from those dance professionals that they would never otherwise have the opportunity to learn from, because they don't live where these teachers live. And those classes actually are open to the community, so any local dancers can take these classes. So it's a 3-day event, and now we've moved into Copeland Hall. We've had kids from all over the country, as far away as Florida, Massachusetts, California, come to Wilmington, stay in our hotels, eat at our restaurants, visit our attractions, and the Grand is just the perfect setting for this event because it's all under one roof. We have our studios here and the stage. So we're really excited about the potential of this event for the city, and also just for our, you know, state to be kind of a center for dance. It really helps the state when kids in Delaware have access to quality dance experiences. So even if they don't want to compete and they can come up and take the classes and watch the competition's free. And be inspired. You know, kids, it helps them to be inspired by other young dancers, teachers outside of their own sphere that they see every day.
It sounds like such a great and impactful program that allows you to not only attract potential new audiences for the company, but also potential new students for the school. We have a few minutes left here, and so I was hoping you might be able to talk a little bit about some of the opportunities that the general public might have to take classes with First State Ballet Theater.
Okay, well, we do have open classes for teens and adults, and that's a completely mixed group of people who have studied ballet and just want to exercise and feel good, people who haven't studied ballet and want to learn more. Ballet is great exercise for everybody. You feel great when you're done, you sweat, you stretch. And it's also mentally really beneficial. Listen to beautiful music for an hour and put your troubles aside. So we have those classes. And of course, we have 7 levels of instruction for children, students. We start here at the Grand, we start at age 4. And dance education is for everybody, especially now post-COVID. The gross motor skills that children learn, socializing, following directions, being with other kids who are like-minded, they learn so much about themselves. They learn how to take direction and work on improving themselves. It's just so beneficial for kids. And one of the things we offer at First State Ballet that's really unique is we are a not-for-profit. We do have a company, So our upper level students have an opportunity to perform with the company in some of the ballets that require a larger cast. And this experience is invaluable. They're literally watching their role models and having a chance to dance alongside them in the Nutcracker or in Swan Lake. We used, I think, 6 students in the Corps de Ballet. So this is something that really you can only get in a much larger city. So we're real proud of that.
Fantastic. We've come to our time. So Joan and Taylor, I want to say thank you for being with me today. If you'd like to see what's coming up next for First Aid Ballet Theater, please visit their website at www.firstaidballet.org. And I hope you both have a great rest of your week. And I'm excited to see the next season of ballet here in Wilmington.
Thank you so much, Andy.
Delaware State of the Arts is a weekly podcast that presents interviews with arts organizations and leaders who contribute to the cultural vibrancy of communities throughout Delaware. Delaware State of the Arts is provided as a service of the Delaware Division of the Arts in partnership with News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. The Delaware Division of the Arts, a branch of the Delaware Department of State, is committed to supporting the arts and cultivating creativity to enhance the quality of life in Delaware. Together with its advisory body, the Delaware State Arts Council, the division administers grants and programs that support arts programming, educate the public, increase awareness of the arts, and integrate the arts into all facets of Delaware life. To find out more about the division, visit arts.delaware.gov.